Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey guys, we get to another episode of When the Scriptures Become Real. Let's get a podcast where we learn, where we study, where we grow. We try to become the best versions of ourselves as we can, as we continue to serve our Lord. Can you guys find the podcast on YouTube or anywhere else you get your podcast? We're just so thankful you guys are here, you found us, and that you guys are with us today. All right, guys, I'm so excited to be back with you guys. I missed you guys. I was gone. I was out of town last week, but I'm so thankful to be back in the studio, and we're ready to go to get this finale. I'm so excited to record this. This has been such a great study for me, and I hope it's been a great study for you as we've kind of gone through this topic of single and searching, and your comments, your sharing of this podcast has been absolutely incredible. And I just want to thank you guys for everything that you're doing for the podcast. So if you don't know, we're in a series that's entitled Single and Searching ? Okay. Single and Searching ? And what we've done, we've looked at this in different parts. So there's four parts. This is part five today. But if you haven't listened to the first four parts, please go back, because there is really, really good foundational work in those first four parts, so you can really understand the finale of where we are. And I don't want you to miss out on anything that can maybe help you and encourage you, okay? So part one, the concept of this is kind of around a table. And we're sitting around this table with Christ. And part one was the search is already over. We spend so much time searching for someone, trying to have that satisfaction or maybe that image that everybody else has. And we're spending so much time trying to do that when the search of somebody pursuing you is already over. Jesus Christ, God has pursued you and he wants you. So then we went to part two, where we're sitting with Jesus now. So the person that has pursued us, the person that's pursued my heart and your heart, doesn't just want to, you know, just pursue you. They want to talk to you. They want to get to know who you are. And so now we're sitting at the table with Jesus, and now he wants to know who you are on a personal level. That's what a person who pursues you would do. Then part three, now we're struggling with Jesus. Naturally, when you get to know someone, everybody always puts their best foot forward at first. But then when you really get to know someone, then defense mechanisms go up, and then you don't want to talk about this. You don't want to talk about that. You don't feel worthy for things. But Jesus wants to know all of you, not just the parts that you just want to present to him. And a person that pursues you want to do the same thing. Then part four, then we talked about singing with Jesus. Understanding that a person wants to do all that for me, I've never felt that. You've never felt that. You may have never felt that. It's incredible. Somebody wants to sit there with me and get to know me and know my heart like that. Then now you're singing because you understand I have that. I have that in my Lord. And now we're part five, right? We're going to call part five, are you satisfied with Jesus? Okay? Are you satisfied? The last conversation we're going to have at the table with him, are you satisfied with him? Okay? So now as you get, I'm so excited to do this. There's so much good stuff, guys. But as we get prepped, as you're walking, if you're in the gym, if you're in a group study with people, as we get started, here's where we want to start our study and conversation. I want to give a couple kind of intro disclaimers before we really dive into this text. The reason why I wanted to study single and searching ? Like this, I didn't want to study this from the concept of how you may have always heard it. A lot of times you never really hear subjects like this from a singles perspective. It's always from a Mary's perspective, which is absolutely great. It's beautiful. But you always hear it from that married perspective. And sometimes, whether intentional or unintentional, when you hear subjects like this from a married person's perspective, sometimes there's always these undertones of, if it happened for me, then it will happen for you. I never really liked that, because it's like this. If we're in a room, and we've got Joseph in the room from the scriptures, we got David in the room, and we got Abram in the room. And God speaks to all three of those men. And he says, you know what? Abram, Joseph, David, everything, it's just going to happen for you. because it happened to David. But did it happen for David the same way that it happened for Joseph? Did it happen for Joseph the same way that it happened for Abram? So to kind of say this blanket statement or have these undertones of, if it happened for me, if God can provide this person for me, if God can provide this family for me, why couldn't he do that for you? Can God do that for you? There's no doubt. I have no doubt that he can do that for you. But what if he doesn't? Everybody cannot be uniform. So what if he doesn't? So if he doesn't, then now that begs the question, are you satisfied with Jesus by himself? I think the reason why at those maybe conferences or youth rallies or personal studies, the reason why we don't bring that question up is because sometimes we don't want people to feel like they don't have hope. So it's easier to say, well, if the Lord could do it for me, then he could do it for you too. You don't want people to leave that class not believing that God can't have somebody out there for them. And I get that. And I respect that. And I understand that concept. But what if God doesn't do for you what he's done for others? What if he doesn't? Are you satisfied with sitting with Jesus at the table? Are you satisfied with that? And the reason why I wanted to do this was, obviously, I'm studying this in real time with you, but I wanted to present this in an honest manner. And sometimes when you present things in an honest manner, you're going to have to ask questions as you study scripture. That's uncomfortable. And sometimes we try to shield ourselves from those uncomfortable questions. But I don't want to do that as we study this, because I really want us to really see this. Are we satisfied with Jesus? And the last disclaimer is I wanted this to have a level of empathy and understanding that sometimes, and again, I don't believe it's unintentionally and I don't believe it's maliciously, but sometimes I believe it can get lost in the marriage realm because you forget the empathy and understanding of what it's like to be in this position. So I wanted to give it from the singles perspective, and I wanted to give that empathy and that understanding and that compassion of, let's just all sit at the table with our Lord. Let's just sit at the table and just talk and listen with him. Okay, so that's just our disclaimers. I wanted to give that before we move forward. That's why I wanted to do this. So, are you satisfied with Jesus? All right? So, like I said, I'm studying this in real time with you. So, it's not fair for me to ask you this question and I haven't asked myself this question. It wouldn't be fair. So, as I've studied this and got to this point, here's how I want to start this conversation with you. Throughout the years for me, that question, are you satisfied with Jesus? That question has become more real for me now. And I'll be honest with you, in the past, that question wasn't as real. And here's how I want to start this. My first memory of understanding this concept was in eighth grade. Now, eighth grade for me was the most perfect year. I mean, it was the most perfect year of my existence. I just remember the sun shining all the time. I remember basketball was great. I remember school was great, winning awards on the court, winning awards in the classroom. Camp was great that year. I mean, that was probably the most perfect year of my existence. I loved all 365 days of that eighth grade year. It was incredible. And in eighth grade, I was around 14 years old, probably. Eighth grade was the time, at least when I was growing up, that's the time where people really started to, I'm putting up air quotes, they really started to date around that time in eighth grade. So you had people going to games together. You had people going to movies together. You had people going to Six Flags together. You had people doing a bunch of stuff together, right? So I remember standing outside the school, waiting for my brother so we can walk home. And I remember seeing my friends all walk out as the bell rang. And I remember just seeing them getting in the car. I remember seeing them hold hands with each other. I remember hearing about the plans that they have for the night. And at that time in eighth grade, I'm not really focused on dating some. I'm focused on basketball. I'm focused on, you know, school. I'm focused on helping at the church at the time. Like, I'm focused on so many other things. And I just remember having a level of satisfaction, meaning this. I remember seeing all those things as I'm standing outside the school, And I remember saying to myself, I'm good. I was completely satisfied. I was like, you know what? I'm good. And I remember saying to myself, my time's going to come. Right now, I need to be focused on other things right now. I've got so many other things to do. It's going to happen. I'll be fine. And for some reason, in my head at 14, I had the number 24 in my head. Well, that was my basketball number at the time. But for some reason, I had the number 24 in my head because I believe things were supposed to line up around age 24, right? Just, I'll be fine. I got 10 years. I got a decade. I got so much time. As long as I'm patient, as long as I focus on the Lord, as long as I focus on my schoolwork, as long as I focus on doing these things, the Lord's going to give me what I need. The Lord's going to give me what I want. I'm fine. I was completely 100% satisfied. Now you fast forward. Now 24 has passed. Now I'm like 26, 27, 28, 29. And now that question pops up again. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Now I'm starting to ask myself that question a little bit more. Because now at this age, now I've been a part of a lot of weddings with my friends. I've sung in some of the weddings with my friends. I've been a part of their weddings. I've seen pictures of their first child. I've seen their kids running around. It's a little bit different now, the group that you grew up with. So now at this age, now I'm starting to really ask myself this question is, am I really satisfied with the Lord? Am I satisfied with where I am? Am I satisfied with the Lord? At the time, the question, I didn't ask myself that question earlier because I was satisfied. I believed things were just going to happen. But when things just didn't happen, I really, that idea of marriage, that idea of companionship was really, it was really low. So I was like, you know what? Let me just focus on other things. So then I just put my head down and just went straight through school. You know, college, more college, bachelor's, master's. I mean, I just kept my head down and just went crazy. Just degree after degree after degree after degree. Just let me just work. Let me do what I know how to do best. Let me just work. Now I'm 31. I don't really ask myself the question of when will I get married? I never really ask myself that question. I never really focus on that question. Now, more so in my 30s, I ask myself the question, am I really satisfied with the Lord, just me and him? Am I satisfied with the Lord? What if this is the path? What if the Lord doesn't want me married like my friends, married and kids? What if the Lord doesn't want me like others married? What if this is the path? What if for some reason the Lord just wants me here and the way that he is to be glorified, this is the state that he needs me in. Am I okay with that? Are you okay with that? Now, you may be in your 30s listening. I know there's 30s listening. You may be in your 20s listening, right? You may be older than that. You may be in your 40s listening. Wherever the case may be, now the question becomes more real. Are you truly satisfied with the Lord? And I think with this question, I think in there's a text that we're going to look at in John 21 that I believe explains this beautifully. And I think this concept, Jesus uses this concept, but he wants us to really think on a few things that we have to meditate on if we're really satisfied with him. Let's go to John 21. Go to John 21, and we're actually going to start in verse 20, okay? John 21, and we're going to start in verse number 20. Now, as we start to study this, remember before, as you're turning there, from verses 15 and 19, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Right? So all those three times, and then Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And then verse 17, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Now we find ourselves in verse 20. Okay, now remember, what are we talking about? Am I satisfied with the Lord? Am I satisfied with him? Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, verse 19. Let's go back real quick. Verse 19. Then he spoke, signifying by which death he would glorify God. That's verse 18. And when he had spoken this to Peter, he said to Peter, follow me. When you think about discipleship for us, as we're talking about single and searching in this realm and in this context, when Jesus said, follow me, I think something that we need to teach that's very important is this life, guys. I know the American dream is to grow, to get a nice paying job, to get a family, to get the dog, the house, the picket fence, to have grandkids, to do all that. That's the American dream. And is there anything wrong or sinful or malicious or bad about that? No, it's not. But when we talk about discipleship, is that the goal of why you and I are here? Just to get into a position where I could do that? Is that the goal? The goal of this life is to follow Jesus. That's the goal. So as we grow, sometimes we feel like there's a process in a Christian life. Well, you grow up, you learn about the Bible, you go to Bible classes, you get older, you obey the gospel. Then after that, then you find another Christian person, then you get married, then you do it again with your kids. Not saying that that's wrong, but is that the goal of this life? Is that the goal? The goal is, Jesus just told Peter, follow me. And do you have to be in a married state to do that? Just follow me. Then verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple that Jesus loved following. Now, who is that? That's John, right? That's our writer. So Jesus just told Peter, just, I can imagine Jesus there on the sea, just locked in with Peter. You just focus on me. But then Peter turns and he sees John, right? The disciple that Jesus loved. And notice what he says. Who leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter saw him and said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man though? What about John? What are you going to do for him? What are you going to do about him? You know, a lot of times, and I want you to read this. This is from David Guzik. This is a really good book. He says, Peter represents most of us. We find it very easy to deflect any personal challenge from Jesus by wondering and even worrying about what other disciples are doing or what Jesus might require of them. So Jesus just issued a personal challenge to Peter. Just follow me. Just focus on me. Well, Lord, I know that's what you said, but what about him though? You see, at this point, Jesus just told Peter, do you love me three times? Was Peter satisfied with just the Lord alone? He was not. Are you and I, am I satisfied with him alone? Or am I too busy worrying about how God can satisfy me in other ways? And then if I'm not worried about that, am I too worried about what God is doing for other people? You know, think about the word satisfaction. What's so, especially being in ministry, a lot of times, and it's a sad commentary seeing this, when you have people that you talk to, you people that you talk to on the phone, that you counsel, and they believe that, man, if I could just find this person, if I could just find the person that loved me, if I could just find someone that just cared about me like they care about their wives, and if I could just find the same thing, I will be completely satisfied. So then they do it. They get married. And now they're in your office, completely dissatisfied. I thought this is what you said you wanted. I thought you wanted marriage. I thought you wanted this. I did too. But here's what's so eye-opening for me on this side of marriage is now those who are dissatisfied in their marriages now, as they've studied and as they've grown, they're completely satisfied with just Jesus by themselves now. But they didn't get that until they saw how bad things could get. For you singles out there, as we study and as we grow and as we try to really look at Jesus like he told Peter, Stop trying to look for satisfaction. Satisfaction is found with sitting at the table with Jesus. That's where satisfaction is found. And Jesus issued this challenge to Peter, but Peter just took his eyes. And that's one thing. Didn't Peter take his eyes off Jesus multiple times? Took his eyes off Jesus. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know. I wasn't with him. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus here in John 21. When Peter was walking on water, he took his eyes off Jesus.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Jesus, when we take our eyes off of him, we focus our satisfaction on other things. And it's not fair. And we want to be honest as we study this. It's not fair for me as a Christian man to base my soul satisfaction on what a good Christian woman can do for me. It's not fair for her. It's not fair. So when you meet somebody, you need to meet all of my needs, because you're here in my life and I want you to satisfy me completely. And if you don't satisfy me completely, then we're going to have an issue. That's not fair for her. That's not fair. And vice versa. It's not fair for her to do that for me or for you or for whoever it is. It's not fair to put all of your eggs in one basket and say, you have the job to satisfy me. That's not fair. And that's not how Christ treated his wife, the church, Ephesians chapter 5. It's not fair. So you see why as individuals, we must be satisfied with Jesus by himself, me and Jesus at the table. And if I'm not satisfied with him, I'm always going to look for somebody to take that place. And it's so sad to see families, to see kids, to see husbands, to see their family, the husband's family, to see the wife's family, all of this dissatisfaction because two people decided to get married, and they wanted to get married, and they wanted to be like everybody else, and they wanted to have the image, and they wanted to post on Facebook, and they wanted to give those cute, pithy phrases on Facebook just to say how close we are together, just to be dissatisfied at the end. It's so disheartening to see that. And young men, that should not be your goal. Young women, that should not be your goal. Your goal as a young man and a young woman in Christ right now is to completely satisfy yourself with your Lord. Completely. And it's very, very important for you now, whether you're a teenager, even younger than that, it's very important to ask yourself the question, am I satisfied with Jesus? See, sometimes we ask ourselves that question too late. But if you start asking yourself that question, and I think what we do, and sometimes when we talk about marriage and singleness and all this stuff, we give this, and I understand, I don't believe it comes from a malicious place. I really don't believe that. I will never attribute that to anyone. But it's this concept of we're afraid of that question for people that aren't married yet. So in order to save them from asking themselves that question, then we give them, hey, it can happen. It can happen. Look what happened to them. Don't you think God can do it? It can happen. So then we kind of keep people on the edge of their seats, and then years happen and then nothing happens. And then now we don't give our young single Christians, even our older single Christians, we don't give them the opportunity to truly ask themselves the question, are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied with that? We're almost afraid of that for them. Well, I don't want you to ask that question because I really want you to get married. That's all good and well, but we got to be real. Are you satisfied with the Lord? You don't want to be satisfied with him on the back end, because now you got yourself, you got your family, you got his family, you got her family, you got kids running around, you got all these things, and now you got this chaos. I just don't want that to happen for you. But you got to ask yourself the hard-hitting personal questions now. Lord, are you enough for me? What if this is it? What if this is it? Am I okay? What if this is it? Jesus continues. Peter said, verse 21, Lord, what about this man? What about him? I love Jesus' response. Verse 22. Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? I love how scripture and how being a disciple of Christ, I love how communal it is. Praying without ceasing, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep, bear one another's burdens. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, being the God of all, we serve the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our tribulations so that we can comfort those who we get the comfort of God from, that we can comfort others. I love the communal aspect of following God, because he never wanted us to be on an island to do it alone. But I also love how Jesus challenges us within that communal aspect. What is that to you? What is that to you? Well, Lord, why is it that you have to, I have to be the last one? What is that to you? Why is it that this has to happen? Well, what is that to you? Well, why does this have to happen? Well, what is that to you? Well, why does that have to? So you see how as we're talking about this and as we're learning about this, we start to get the aspect of what Jesus is saying. You need to focus on me. Why are you so focused on being like others? Why are you so focused on that? I love how Jesus says this. I want to read this too. I have come to the conclusion in the book, he says, I've come to the conclusion, instead of trying to set all of my master's servants right at once, my first and most important work is just to follow my Lord. And I think, my brother, it will be wise for you to come to that exact same conclusion. You know, it's a beautiful concept, and Jesus said it twice. What is that to you? And then how did he end it? Follow me. Follow me. I preached on this last night. It's very interesting to know that Jesus just wants to sit and dine with you. And I think what we've made our young people afraid of, I think we've made them afraid of being alone. Now, does that mean that they will always be alone? No. But I think we're so afraid of, and there's this connotation too, where you walk somewhere, you walk into a place and you're the only one not married. There's this connotation of like, oh, you know, you haven't found someone yet. When's it going to happen for you? There's this thing, right? And even when you're with your married friends, right, there's this, you can feel as included as you can, but there's just this thing that you cannot cross this barrier. No matter what you do, you're always this third wheel. There's always this thing, right? I think we've made our young people afraid to talk about being alone with the Lord. And I think we've made them afraid because we're afraid for them. But when you talk about discipleship, being anywhere with the Lord, I mean, it's the older you get, the more satisfaction you really do get from that. I can say that as being a little bit older now. You get more satisfaction just being with God, just having the time and the opportunity to talk with him, to help others, to talk with God about other people. Now, does it mean that I may not want to get married one day? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's a beautiful concept to know that even if it doesn't, even if no one physically on planet Earth, even if I will never on planet Earth have that one person on the planet that thinks about you and wants to be in your presence, if I never have that, I've got the Lord. And again, like we mentioned in part two and three, having the Lord, let's not use that again. I want to say this again. Let's not use that phrase as a concessions prize for single. Well, you're not married yet, but you got God. It's a beautiful thing, but don't that there's a better way to say it, like we talked about. But again, go listen to part three to understand that more. But there's a concept that Jesus teaches. In John 21, he talks to Peter, and he tells Peter to bring some of the fish which he caught. But then verse 12, I want you to notice what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, I want you to come and just eat breakfast with me. You know, it's a special thing to sit at the table with the Lord and not necessarily talk about your problems, not necessarily talk about how tough things are, maybe not even bringing supplication to him. It's just being in the presence of a person. And I think sometimes even physical married people forget that. When we're together, we always got to talk about a problem. When we're together, we always got to solve a problem. When we're together, we always got to fix something. When we're together, there's always an issue to come up. When we're together, there's always something to talk about. Then next thing you know, you get married and you're with someone for years and you totally forget how to just sit and enjoy that person's presence. Next time you go to the park, I want you to see this. Go to the park and just take a walk. And I guarantee at some point you're going to see an older couple there. They may be feeding birds. They may be just sitting there. But they're sitting there and they're just silent. And the husband might have his arm around her. But they're just silent. Why? They're just enjoying each other's presence. And I think sometimes if we don't know how to do that as a single with Jesus, once we get married, we're going to be so busy with all this stuff. We got practices to go to. We got the kids stuff. We got my family stuff. We got your family stuff. We got your schooling. We got my schooling. We got church stuff. We got this stuff. And we got that stuff. And we got that stuff. And the next thing you know, you live 20, 30 years like that. Your kids grow up. And next thing you know, you have no idea how to spend some time and just, I just like being with you. I'm just glad you're here. We don't have to fix a problem. No. There's nothing to talk about. No. There's nothing to fix. Just want to talk to you. Why? You know what I mean? Like, because we don't start right, then we get marriages and we don't do it right. And I don't want to do that. To me, I don't want to do that to the Lord. And then if the Lord wills, I don't want to do that to her, whoever she may be, if that's the Lord's will for me. We forget to just...
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Jesus said, I just want you to come and just let's eat breakfast. Did Jesus solve the world's problems here with his disciples? Did he give commands to his disciples here? Did he teach his disciples right here in this? Before I talk, I just want to eat with you. I want you to see this. Go to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, and look at verse, I love this concept. Revelation 3, and look at verse number 20. Revelation 3, look at verse 20. Man, this is beautiful. And this changes for me the concept of the Lord's knocking at the door. Notice what the text says. Now, this is written in red, so Jesus is saying this, and John's writing this, right? Same author as John. So notice what's happening. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anybody hears my voice, you know, a lot of times if we don't know as a single, if we don't know how to hear the Lord's voice, who loves us more than any other person could, when somebody comes into my life or your life, you won't know how to hear their voice either. I don't want you to miss that. As a single, if you don't know how to hear the Lord's voice now, when somebody comes into your life, you won't know how to hear theirs. you'll be dismissive of them as you dismiss God. It's very important we listen to him. But you know, in order to listen, guess what you're going to have to do? These two lips here, you're going to have to close them. I'm going to have to close them to listen. But a lot of times, all of us always got something to say. Whether it's here, whether it's online, whether it's in person. There's always some, I always got to put, people have to know what Jordan Pugh thinks on this topic. I got to put my two cents out there. When there's something, they have to know what I think about it. They have to know. She has to know. He has to know. They got to know. The brethren have to know. I mean, I got to say something, right? I have to say something. You see, we're doing all this stuff. And we're doing all this typing, and we're doing all this, and we've forgotten the art of listening to how the Lord is knocking at the door. He's constantly knocking, but his knocking is drowned out by what we want to happen and how we think about stuff. And then we bring that stuff into marriages, and now I hate seeing children in marriages like that, so innocent, so sweet. They come up and love you so much, and they're stuck because two people decided they wanted to do something that they weren't ready for. In ministry, I made a promise to myself years ago when I really, really got into ministry, and I started to see these families, and I started to see these kids. And I love being with kids here at the congregation. I love being with kids at camp. I love being with kids at Bible camp. All these other things that we do. I promise myself, my kids that aren't even here yet, if that's the Lord's will, but this is just what I'm saying internally. My kids that aren't even here yet, if the Lord's will, I hope I never put them through that situation. I hope they never have to see any of that. And if that means that I don't get married and those kids are never here, they're saved from that. Because I don't want that to happen. I don't want my kids going through that. You see why? You have to listen to his voice. Behold, I'm standing at the door. And I'm knocking. And if anybody hears my voice, and then watch the progression, okay? Watch the progression. If anybody hears my voice, and not only hears my voice, but what do? They open the door. They open the door. What will I do then? I will come into him and I will dine with him. Doesn't that sound like John 21? But just like this lukewarm church in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 20, they had stopped listening for the knock. But it's always been there. You know, the knock in your life is still there, but you can't hear it. You've drowned his voice out by what other Christians are telling you to do, by what your own mind tells you to do. You've drowned out really good people in your life. You drowned out their voice, and now you don't even know how to hear the voice of God anymore. You don't know. I will come and I will dine with him. There's nothing like just being in the presence of the Lord. Hearing his voice, knowing that he's there, opening up the door, and just enjoying his presence. So don't you think? I want to paint this picture. We've personified this whole series as sitting at the table with Jesus. And in my mind, obviously, yes, I'm here in the podcast room, but in my mind, I imagine almost like this table. Candle in the middle, dim light, and Jesus is there. And I'm there at the table with him, and you're there in my place, right for you. And we're sitting at the table, and we spend years talking, celebrating, rejoicing, weeping, just enjoying his presence. And then one day you walk into that place, and for years, you're used to two chairs. I'm walking in. I'm doing what I normally do. I'm going to walk in and talk with my Lord today. You know, he's knocking. he wants to hear. I open up the door to the place, and there he is. I mean, we've always done this. We've always done this. But you walk in, and there's three chairs. You think it's a mistake. Well, why is there three? There's never three chairs. It's always just been these two. There's never three. I think this is a mistake. Maybe I'll move this chair. There's always just been two. Now imagine Jesus sitting down. And I ask, and you ask, Lord, why is there a third chair? There's never been three. There's always been two. Why is there the third chair? I have somebody for you to meet. Lord, we spent so much time together. It's just different now. We spent so much time together. A third person? Really? I don't know. I don't know how this, Jordan, put your name there. Just trust. Just meet him. Just meet her. Just meet him. Wait, if you're a girl, just meet him. Meet her. Okay. Isn't it interesting how if we sit with Christ and we spend the time to get to know him and the word has trained us to understand his knock, by faith, our feet walk to the door, and by faith, we continue to open it and just have breakfast and talk with him. Don't you think that if the Lord allows for a person to come into your life, there'll be no confusion because you can recognize a good knock. By faith, you open up the door. By faith, it's a person that you never maybe even thought existed. And you just dine with them. Don't you think that the same Lord that you spend time with alone, instead of you going out here and the reason why you're at a lectureship, the reason why you're at a gospel meeting, the reason why you're on all these Christian dating sites, the reason why you go to all these conferences, the reason why you're there, instead of being there just to find somebody, you're not afraid to say in your mind today, I'm going to spend as much time as I can with the Lord. And don't you think if we have enough faith, that if that's the Lord's will for your life and mine, that the person that I'm talking to, the Lord, I give full faith and trust for him to pick the chair and to pick the person to come to the table. I think this is how we need to teach this. But many times what we do, what do we tell our young people? You got to go where they are. You got to go where the men are. You got to go where the women are. It's literally like we're telling them the real life fish. It's pretty crazy when you really break it down. We're afraid to tell our people, spend time with God by yourself. Because ultimately, we don't want them to be afraid to be alone. And we're afraid to be alone. And that's why we don't teach like this. And it's easier to say, the Lord will give you somebody. Just wait. Because it happened to me. Here's my story. So that's all good and well. I love you, brother. I rejoice with you, brother. Man, love you and your family. But I need to spend some time with the Lord. And I trust him whatever he decides. Whether he just wants two chairs at this table or whether he wants three. I'm going to let him make that choice. Well, Jordan, that means if you do that, you really don't have control over the situation. I mean, you really don't know. I mean, you got to do something. You can't just sit here and just trust the Lord. You know, we always say that you trust the Lord, but you got to actually do something. You got to go out there and send a message. You got to go out there where the girls are. You got to do something. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that over the years. It's insane. And when we say we trust the Lord, we trust them to a fault. Yeah, I trust them, but how much, what do I got to do? Like, let me make something up, but I trust God. I think we're afraid to truly and fully trust him. I think we're afraid to fully, because what it does, trusting God puts you in a state of I have no control. And let me mention this. As I've grown older, for some reason, growing up, you think at some point I'm going to get it. You know, at some point things are going to line up. At some point I'm going to figure this out. And I'm not talking about just marriage. I'm talking about finances. I'm talking about like everything. We're just going to figure this out. All right, we're going to figure this out. At some point the stars are going to align. At some point things are just going to work. You know, it's just going to happen, right? And at that point, that's when I know, like, I got it. I got control. I figured it out. I got it. What do we call ourselves, right? When you love God, when you are a follower of God, like Jesus told Peter, follow me. What does the Bible call us and what do we call ourselves? A child of God. Children of God. Think about a child and think about children. Children have no control and they're so dependent on their father for everything. They're dependent on their father for everything. And for some reason, physically, the older we get, the more control we think we need. But for me, it's the opposite. The older I've gotten, the less control I feel I actually have in a lot of situations. I feel like I just don't have control over. If somebody comes in, I don't have control over that. I don't have control over that. I don't have control over my future. I don't have control. So now, as a child of God, understanding that I don't have control, then what does that put me in a state of? It puts me in a state of constant dependence on my Lord. But a lot of us want that control, and therefore, then we miss out on the dependence on our Father. When you think about a lot of times what we do is we want that control with our head knowledge and we want that control by our own wit. And you think about, you know, the Word of God. Well, all this stuff in the Word, you know, I got to figure it out. You know, I can't learn anything else new. I know all this stuff. I've got all these experiences. I've preached this long. I've done this long. Like I got the meat of the Word. You know, I got the meat. You know, I'm good. I got it. There's nothing really more I could learn. I'm off milk. I'm on the meat, right? Here's what's interesting. When the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, God gave them manna from heaven, right? But God also gave them meat, which was quail. But here's the thing. When God gave them the meat, did they get it off of their own knowledge and their own head knowledge? Who gave them the meat? God gave them the meat. So here's, as we get older, sometimes we get prideful by what we know and how smart we are and our knowledge and what we've written and how great we are. And we get so prideful that we think we are the authority. But we forget that meat comes from God too, which means God gives milk to his children. And he gives meat to his children who are dependent on him. But I think a lot of us are too busy cooking our own meals. Again, I just want to mention that. Throwing it out there. Just throwing it out. Just throwing it out. But it's very interesting how we're learning to follow our Lord. Is he really enough for me? Am I satisfied with who he is and what he could give to me? And I love how in verse 23 of John 21, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You know, in this series that we've talked about, Single and Searching, I specifically wanted to flip it and really focus on yours and my relationship with Jesus. I wanted to flip it and I wanted it to be different than what you probably ever heard. Singles, please do not be afraid to spend time with your Lord by yourself. Singles, also, here's a message for you. Your friends that you've grown up with, your friends that you know, your friends that you love, who the Lord has provided amazing women for them, amazing men for them if they're girls, with all of your heart, rejoice with them. You know, for my friends who's married, like, you know, love on them, love on their kids, love their wives. It's, you know, that's your role. You love on them. You love them. You help them. You're their big brother. You're their uncle. You're their, you just love on them. You love on them. And you rejoice because the Lord had provided somebody that you care for an amazing opportunity. You rejoice with that. But you be satisfied. If the Lord gives you that, then blessed be his name. But if he doesn't, blessed be his name. So instead of you spending time out here looking, maybe spend time sitting with him at the table. And when you sit with him at the table, I can't wait for that day if you reach out that the Lord sent another chair and he called for another chair to that table. And he wants you to meet somebody that's been sitting with him too. What a day that's going to be. I didn't even ask for this. I wasn't even looking for this. I wasn't searching for this. I just wasn't even actively looking, but the Lord just, she's here now, you know, or if you're a girl, he's here now. And one last final encouragement. In the Old Testament, we have examples of waiting, right? We got Abram waiting for Isaac. You know, we have, obviously Joseph didn't know that he was going to be second in command, but that's what, 25 years of waiting, right? Joseph had to wait for a long time. You know, you have all these people in scripture waiting, you got Isaac waiting, right? All these things. When you talk about our Lord and when you wait for him, it doesn't take away from the fact of waiting's long. And that will never take away from the reality of how real waiting is. Like, it's a long, long time to wait. But I will say, and I can only speak from the experience of like a job that I'm at now, and even other things, even with the podcast, but other things too. There's no greater feeling in the world. No greater feeling than knowing that you didn't search for something, you didn't search something out. It's different when God gives it to you. I'm just letting you know, I'm telling you guys, just, it's different. When you go out there and when you search and you find, that's cool. I'm not saying that's sinful, but it's a different feeling when you know, man, I didn't look for this. I wasn't actively searching for this. I wasn't vying for this. I wasn't trying to position myself to get this. It was given. Come on now. Like, that's, it's unreal. It's an unreal feeling when God gives you something and you know that there's no way in the world that I could have even gotten this if I tried it. Imagine that feeling with a person. I mean, there's no way I couldn't even work this out. I wouldn't even have met. It just doesn't make sense. Just bless. Thank God. That's all we can say as a child. Thank you, Father. Thank God. You see why dependence is so important? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you satisfied? If so, I will say the two words that Jesus is saying to me, the two words he's saying to you, and the two words he said to Peter. Follow me. Follow me. Single and searching. You see why I was so happy to do this, man. I'm so encouraged by this, by you guys, by your study, by us studying this together. Man, love you guys, man. I appreciate you guys. Again, if you want to reach out, please reach out. You will not be the first. I met so many great people through this, and reach out through our Instagram accounts, reach out through Facebook accounts. We want you to be a part of this, and this is personal, so all the messages are going to come to me directly. Let's talk. We've studied with people. We've Zoomed with people. We've DM'd with people. We just want you a part of the When the Scriptures Become Real family here. And we love you guys, man. We appreciate you guys. And please continue to share this series. Go back and listen to 1 through 4, 1 through 5 now. I hope this will really encourage you guys. We love you guys. Appreciate you guys. And Lord willing, we will see you guys next week with another podcast. Thanks, guys.